I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
Run, run, live. The podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission.
You're getting sleepy. Very sleepy. Very bored. As if you were listening to the Running to Disney podcast. This is Kevin from the Extra Mile podcast. Those of you who listen to my podcast know that I have a talent for taking over other people's podcasts, if only for one episode, and making whatever changes I think are necessary. When I click my fingers, you will wake up, rush to your computers, and go to www.worldwidefestivalofraces.com and register for the Kick the Couch 5K, the Zen Run 10K, or the Worldwide Half. And if you're crazy enough to listen to this podcast, you might register for all three. The races are free, and they're a great way to celebrate our passion for the sport. Okay, I'll click my fingers now and return you to the Run, Run, Live podcast. So get yourselves registered right now. Don't make me come there and take over your podcast or blog or Facebook account or Twitter account or bank account.
Great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run.
It's just a jump to the left.
Hey, honey, wake up. Let's do it. Come on.
Go away. I want to sleep some more.
Come on, wake up. You remember you told me last night that you'd do it. I wanted to do it, and you said, no, I'm too tired. Wake me up in the morning before the kids get up. We'll do it tomorrow. That's what you said.
I don't want to do it now. Let me go back to sleep.
But, honey, you said you'd do it on a regular basis. That's what you told the counselor. Remember, it's for a relationship.
Listen, let me get another half hour of sleep, and we can do it this afternoon before the kids come home from school.
Honey, you and I both know that's not going to happen. If we don't do it now, one thing is going to lead to another, and we won't do it at all today. Look, I know this is something I enjoy more than you, but you promised.
I'm too tired. Can't you just do it by yourself or with the dog?
You know, I just don't enjoy it as much without you. Honey, I know you're tired. Here, how about if I give you a nice massage to warm you up first?
That would be nice. I'm still sore from the last time we did it. If we do it this morning, you have to promise to take it easy on me. You're going to hurt me.
Listen, I promise I'll slow down and take it easy on you this time.
All right, I guess I'll do it. I'm awake now anyway.
Cool, I'll get your running shoes.
Under the circumstances, formal dress is to be optional.
Hey folks, this is Chris, and I am in Burlingame, California. It's about 6 o'clock in the morning, local time. 9 o'clock my time. Flew in last night. Woke up early, went for a run. Did something interesting this morning. If you're familiar with the San Francisco International Airport, SFO, Burlingame is where the hotel strip is, you know, Hotel Row. So it's right off the access road from the airport. And there's a nice little tar asphalt walkway alongside the bay, so you can run along the bay in the morning. Sun's just coming up. I must be looking east because that's where the sun's coming up from, across the bay. And at the top of the thing here, top of the bay is the airport. You can hear the planes in the background. They start coming in about 6. They're coming in to leave it. All the international flights going to Asia. So I did something interesting this morning, like I was saying. So I saw the airport over there. I said, hey, let me go run the airport. So I wheeled my way through the access roads and actually end up in the terminals. And I did a full loop, because most airports are like horseshoes, you know, with the terminals scattered around. And they're all pretty much the same layout, where, you know, San Francisco is one of the old ones where you can drive to every terminal. So you can basically walk between terminals or run between terminals. So I started out in the international terminal, and I ran the whole thing. And sometimes I went inside through baggage claim. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, so there's nobody there, except people walking around. And you know what? Me running through the terminal is not the strangest thing they're going to see today in San Francisco. And I wasn't being obnoxious or anything. It's kind of nice. A lot of cement in airports. Kind of rough on the old pegs. And I actually wandered upstairs in Terminal 1, up the ticketing, see what that was like. But I got out of there in a hurry because it was just a whole crowd of angry people trying to make morning flights and get through security. A lot of bad karma. And they were giving me the evil eye, so I got out of there. So yeah, I ran the whole terminal. Very nice. Little carpeted hallways. They're very nice. And it's kind of cold out. It's like 65, with fog hanging out in the mountains, palm trees. Got to go back to work now and go back to the hotel, get some work done, get some coffee in me. I did about five or six. I don't know. About an hour. Bye.
Hello and welcome to episode 84 of the Run Run Live podcast. Apologies as usual for the audio quality. I'm coming to you live from the SeaTac International Airport, where I'm waiting to get on a big old jet airliner, more specifically the red eye back to Boston. We'll keep it brief because I know you're not tuned in to hear me prattle on, and I'm not here to talk either. I'm here to bring you content. Content. Rich, creamy content. For you. Today's content is an interview with John Sample of Chocolate Number 9. When these folks reached out to me, it was like, oh man, not another energy supplement. You know, it seems like this is a very crowded space, a lot of these people out there. But they sent me some, and I've been using it, eating it. I have to admit, I like it. I've been eating one before my early morning runs, and it seems to sit well on the stomach and really improve my mood and energy. So it seems to level me up in the morning. It seems like they have some unique science too. And John is one of those entrepreneurs, and you know how I have a soft spot for anyone soft enough to bet the mortgage on a startup. So lots of people to thank today. We got Kevin from the Extra Mile podcast, so go sign up for the Worldwide Festival of Races. We've got Newman from the Newman Show podcast and Megan from the Run Vegan Run podcast for that rather sensuous wordplay skit. And my daughter wants me to thank St. Raphael, the patron saint of travelers, apparently, who kept us from getting a parking ticket by 5 seconds today. Parking ticket getting towed, right? Right. Hey, hope you're all having a great week. I finished up my run every day week last week with around 53 miles and nothing broke. Got some good runs in this week as well. It's all good. We have the Rocky Horror theme today, so it's just a step to the left, a jump to the right, and on with the show.
Do not join the Chris Russell cult. Do not do it. Young people, old people, do not join. He will lead you to ruin. He's a menace. I caution you strongly. It is not someplace you want to be in life. That's all I got.
So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame.
so I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.
And now for the equipment check.
I did not want to, but I guess I will. I'll pile on to the barefoot running thing. I went ahead and bought and read the book Born to Run this week. That's a good read. It's well written. It's compelling. There's a lot to think about in it. And most of what is there are things that you've probably heard before. But I think a main point that I agree with is that if you work on your mechanics and form, then it really doesn't matter what you put on your feet. I mean, I've never run in motion control or any kind of corrective shoes. And I do have very thin, soft orthotics to bring my heels up a little for my chronic Achilles tendonitis. But the other thing I've noticed over the 30-plus years that I've been running is that I've gotten better at it. You know, my form has definitely moved from a heel strike to more of a forefoot transition point as I did more miles and more speed work on the track. And I would posit that running faster forces you to run cleaner and with better mechanics. So I'm not sure I'd make the leap that everybody should be running bare feet. You know, it would be great if we discover this is true. But I think it's definitely worthwhile to work on your form to the point that you don't need to all that corrective stuff in your shoe. And as I look back, I see that I've naturally gravitated to simple, neutral shoes for the most part. That sort of supports that premise. I've given myself shin splints by running dead shoes. One of the things they talked about was running in dead shoes. And my guess would be that if you want to transition to barefoot running, you know, get a mechanics coach and take it easy, because just like any transition, you're going to need to give your body a chance to get used to it just because it's different. And I find the whole thing intriguing. And I'm probably going to try to get a pair of those VFFs to try. Maybe I'll run Boston barefoot this year. Who knows? I think it's great that we are still experimenting with stuff like this and questioning the common knowledge. So go ahead, give it a try. Let me know how it works out.
The river was deep, but I swam it.
Janet.
The future is ours, so let's plan it.
Janet.
So please, don't tell me to can it.
Janet.
I've one thing to say, and that's damn it. Janet, I love you.
And now for our featured interview.
John.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Chris, I can hear you loud and clear.
All right. Yeah, like I said, I'm out with my border collie, Buddy the Wonder Dog, taking a walk in the woods while we talk to you. So I haven't seen him all week, so he misses me.
That's a good, healthy thing to do.
Yeah. I don't know if I got enough energy to go running today after being on the red eye all night. But anyhow, I was out in Seattle where you live. So give us the, you know, 200 words or less on who you are, what you do, and the product we're talking about here.
Okay, well, I'm a business guy. I've been in, for a long period of time, been in the computer business, but in addition to that, I've also been a health food nut for the last, probably 40 years. Got an idea for a product that I wanted to create, this chocolate number 9 that we're talking about, and I decided I'd make a stab at getting into the foods business. I also had a little bit of time involved with a small chocolate company here in Seattle, and so I used what expertise I picked up there to help me create this chocolate number 9 product.
Okay. So why chocolate number 9? Is that like love potion number 9?
The name was my attempt to make it a little bit different from some of the other products that are out there. I used a number just simply because nobody else had used a number. The good news is most people remember it, and that was the goal. But you got to keep in mind the foods market is quite big, and there are lots and lots of products, and so if you don't remember the name of the product, you have a hard time finding it. And chocolate number 9 has seemed to work for a name. I know a lot of people say they remembered it because of the 9.
Yeah, so now you're going to have me, love potion number 9 in my head all week.
Yeah. So, well, I get a lot of that comments about love potion number 9. I'm a child of the 60s, and it sort of had a little bit of play in it also.
So who's your target market? Who are you looking to provide this product for?
Well, I've got three target markets, and the first and primary market are elite athletes or people that are endurance athletes and the like. And the main reason why I think a product appeals to them is because it does not have refined sugar in it, and athletes shouldn't try to refuel eating junk food, which is basically what most of the energy fuels on the market presently are.
So if you're targeting elite athletes, what am I doing with it?
Well, you know, anybody can be an elite athlete. You got to push yourself. All it is doing your own personal best. And if you, I know you can't reach your personal best if you fuel up on junk food.
Nope, that's true. And by junk food, you're not talking about French fries and Whoppers here. You're talking about different forms of sugar, right?
I wouldn't recommend to athletes to go fill up on junk or French fries and Whoppers either before they went out in a race. But I certainly wouldn't recommend that they go buy a wad of white refined sugar, carry it along with them, and every time they feel like they're running out of energy, to go and take a big bite of some more sugar, because that simply wouldn't be the best thing they do. And if you look at the ingredients of most of the competitors in the energy fuel market, you'll find that most of them are made with high glycemic index sweeteners, and chocolate number 9 really is the only one I'm aware of that is truly certified as a low glycemic index item.
Yeah, because the classic example would be, I'm a child of sort of the 70s myself, and I remember all the ultra guys, the marathoners, always drank Coke as their energy drink before energy drinks existed, and the ultra guys do that now. A lot of the ultra guys will drink warm Coke or flat Coke just because it's chock full of caffeine and sugar.
Right. I think what we'll find is, as we get further down the road here, in particular with chocolate number 9, other athletes will find that not refueling with high glycemic sweeteners will make them perform better. I've already had lots of feedback from athletes that have tried my product, and they basically are telling me that they think it helps them perform at a higher level than when they were using the high glycemic index sweeteners.
As an endurance athlete myself, I know that you expect when you take a gel of some sort or a bar of some sort, you know, that's what you're looking for. You expect that big kick, that big sugar kick, that big caffeine kick, but you tend to get the real high highs and the real low lows when you're doing that, you know?
Right.
So I was actually eating, I guess it would be the proper term, your product last couple of weeks when I've been running in the morning. Now, I'm not really a real good morning guy, so I've been eating it at like 5 o'clock in the morning before I go out on my run. And some days I did and some days I didn't, just take the one pack. And I found a marked difference between the days I did and the days I didn't in just sort of my energy and my attitude level.
Right.
And it just, and it wasn't a big spike kind of energy. It was really smooth, so...
Right.
So that's why I wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, the energy from our product definitely comes on slow.
In
fact, anybody that's getting ready to use it, my recommendation is take one about 5 to 10 minutes before you start your exercise, and then bingo, use it at about the same intervals you would other types of energy products. The best part about it is it won't give you that bonk, that low at the end if you don't take it, because the bonk at the end really is one of the worst phenomena that you can get from the refined sugar ones. Not only do you get that spike, that big quick rush of sugar, but you also get the subsequent low. And if you're doing your exercise, when you get that low, you will have a significant slowdown in what you're doing.
Right. So chocolate number 9. Now, what's in this stuff? What makes it different? What's in it that makes it different? What do you mean by no refined sugar?
I use only certified organic agave as a sweetener, 100% organic agave, and then I've used what I consider to be the finest cocoa we could find, a relatively high-fat cocoa from Belgium. It's a dark roast. I used a chocolatier here in the city of Seattle to help me refine the particular type of cocoa we were going to use for it. Taste drove the issue, and so that's why our product, one, tastes really good, but two, because it only has agave in there in addition to the cocoa, we don't have to worry about some of the side effects you get with these other sweeteners. In addition, we don't have any of the oddball aftertastes that are associated with some of the synthetic sweeteners.
Sure. I got a couple of questions here. Since it's got this high-end cocoa in it, does that mean there's caffeine?
There is a small amount of caffeine that naturally occurs within cocoa. It is a very tiny amount. But it's small enough so I don't think most people would ever feel it, and I certainly wouldn't sell the product on the fact that it had caffeine in it.
So maybe a quarter to a half a milligram, something like that.
I don't have the exact figure. I'll have to figure it out for you.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I didn't get that big buzz, the big caffeine buzz, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Can you share with me what exactly is agave? And the other thing I noticed on the label, it said something about, what, akamai or something? No, alkali, sorry.
The alkali. Okay, well, let's go to the agave first. The agave is a cactus that grows in Mexico. It's
okay, this isn't this what we make tequila out of with the worm in the bottom?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. This is getting better all the time, John.
Right, right. You know, what they do is they take the agave. It's a big bulbous plant. It's, it looks to me like it's about somewhere in the neighborhood of 18 inches high when you strip all the leaves off of it, and about a foot in diameter. And they steam process it, and out comes an oozing honey-like fluid that has the unique property of being sweet and not causing glycemic spikes. And, okay, so that's what agave is. It's been produced in Mexico for a long period of time. It has become kind of the sweetener of choice at this time. Large amounts of information are starting to be written about it, mainly because of the diabetes explosion in the United States and how most diabetics can sweeten stuff with agave and not have to worry about the glycemic spikes they get with refined sugar.
And now, excuse me for asking dumb questions, but is this a type of sugar, you know, like fructose and maltose and lactose? Agave has a type of sugar in it?
Actually, the sugars inside the agave, I believe, and I don't want to be held to this, but I believe they're a fructose-type sugar, a slow-burn sugar. And the majority of them within the product are that.
Okay. And so you actually did some glycemic studies on this in some lab up in Canada and got some interesting results?
Yeah, after we created the product, we set our standards, the ratio of agave to cocoa, and that we sent off our product to the Glycemic Index Laboratories in Toronto, Canada. And they're one of a few places literally in the world at the present time that do this testing. And the testing, by the way, has to be done on human beings. They got together, I believe the number is 10 individuals, and they brought them in on, I think it's six separate occasions, fed them chocolate number 9 sometimes and standard glucose sometimes, and they compared their blood glucose levels over time spans from, I think it's from the time they gave them the product to 2 hours afterwards, plotted it all out, and then they come up with this measurement they call glycemic indexing. By the way,
so you're actually drawing blood and testing how much sugar is current in the blood.
Yes, and anybody that's truly interested and wants to know more about this testing procedure can actually go to our website, chocolatenumber9.com, and we have two links located there, and you can download the entire report. It's in two parts. There are two PDF files. One of them, pages 1 through 5. Gives most of the details about it, and pages 6 through 10 give all the statistical information. And so you can easily, if you're really interested, you can go to the website and you can take a look at the entire report and see how it was done. They even tell that. They even talk about who the subjects were, the ages of the subjects, the genders, and all that stuff.
Oh, that's great, because, you know, there's just so many. You know, one of the things when I first was talking to you, as I told you I was scared of, is there's just so many energy products out there right now, and most of them fall under the realm of supplements, so they're totally unregulated, and it's hard to verify any of the claims they make, so it's good that you have some published scientific data.
Well, one of my number one things I wanted to do was to kind of go this extra step and make sure that people could feel comfortable, look at the product and say, okay, that is a certified product, yes, I will give it a try.
So because of the glycemic stuff, I hear you're saying it's good for diabetics.
Every diabetic needs to make their own choice based on their own particular situation. But we've shown our product to the American Diabetes Association and shown them the documentation on our product, and they allow us to sell this product at the American Diabetes Association shows. I also can say that I've shown the product and the documentation to Team Type 1, which is a group of diabetic bike racers. They're one of the powerhouse bike teams in the United States, and they presently are using our product to win races. In fact, just this past June, I think it was June 28th or 9th, Team Type 1 won Race Across America, a 3,012-mile bike ride using chocolate number 9.
Okay, good. So you get some athletes using it, too. I mean, I haven't taken it out for any, you know, 30-mile runs yet, but like I said, I was shooting some in the morning, and I really liked it. Has a little bit of a bite to the back of the throat when you first eat it.
Maybe your own throat. You know, I don't taste it, but I, but it. I've had a few people tell me they thought it was a little sweet, and I've had a few people tell me they really, really, really liked it.
No, no, I really, really, really like it. I just, there's like a little sort of a, I don't know, maybe it's the alkali.
Well, the, okay, so the you asked about the alkali. Cocoa is processed. If you're going to get a large, dependable supply of cocoa, cocoa needs to be processed. And the process they use is referred to as a Dutch process, and I can't give you a lot of details on it. You might go to Wikipedia or something and look it up. But the process does involve some alkali, and the federal government requires that you put that on your labeling, and so I put that in here to let people know that that's the way it is. My estimate is that about 99% of all the cocoa you're going to find in the United States is processed that way.
Yeah, I mean, the taste is almost like a high-end sort of chocolate sauce, you know, like something you'd put on your ice cream,
yeah.
or something of that ilk.
Yeah,
not the cheap supermarket stuff, but the high-end stuff.
Right, right. In essence, what we have is a chocolate sauce. We do package it uniquely in our little single-serve packs that makes it a natural for people looking for an energy gel. I also like to point out that the product's really suitable for moms and their kids because it's an alternative to a candy bar. It's essentially a liquid candy bar because it tastes so good that if you have a child that's asking for a candy bar, you can give them a chocolate number 9, they'll rip the top off of it, and they'll eat it, and they'll know exactly what to do with it, and they'll be very satisfied that they got their chocolate fix.
Yeah, and it comes in your standard sort of gel pack. Does it come in different container sizes? Like, I know there's a lot of push now to get rid of gel packs for, you know, for the litter reasons and the packaging reasons.
Eventually, I'm going to go to a bigger pack. I don't have it yet. I'm a startup company, and I got a lot of stuff to do all at the same time. That is on the horizon.
Yeah. So there's 70 calories in one of these little things. Yeah, it's a nice size. It's not too much.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we take this opportunity to tell us again how to get it if people want it.
Probably the easiest thing to do is to go to our website. It's chocolate9. Just spell it out like it sounds. chocolatenumber9.com. And,
so wait a second. So is that a number sign and the number 9?
Just the word.
Or the word number and the word 9?
Yep.
Okay.
So you can just put chocolate number 9 on the URL line, and bingo, that'll take you there. If you go to Google and type in chocolate and the number sign 9, it'll all pop up. Also, I've got a toll-free number. It's easy to remember. It's 1-866-999-1909. And people call that number. They'll get me most every day. If they don't, I'm either on the phone or busy and tied up. But if they leave their name and phone number, I'll be happy to call them back. I try to make myself fairly available.
Yeah, so you're a Twitter guy, too. You're somebody from is Twittering as Chocolate Number 9, right?
Yes, we have a Twitter account. We also got a Facebook account. I don't keep up on them as much as I'd like to. Your best bet, actually, is to go to my Chocolate Number 9 website, and there is a link there to send me an email if you want to email me. That's a good way to do it too.
Cool. So what would be the what would be the top 3 things you'd want people to take away from this conversation we had here today?
Well, there's 3 reasons for having the product. One, if you're an athlete of any type at all and you're looking for an energy gel, Chocolate Number 9 certainly should be on your potential list. And in addition, if you think that you're going to try to really break records, I think that you should give Chocolate Number 9 a try, because I think you'll be surprised that you'll be able to perform at a higher level using it. In addition to that, if you're a diabetic and you're looking for a treat, or you're looking for an energy gel to use when you do workout, Chocolate Number 9 should be on your event horizon. The reason why is because we're certified as a low glycemic index item, and that means that we've taken some of the mystery out of the food for you. You don't have to worry about taking it and having some glycemic happening that you don't want to have happen to you. If you're a parent and you got a kid and you don't want your child to have the sugar highs and lows, my way I'd look at it is I'd let the kids have a Chocolate Number 9 any day, but I wouldn't let them have a candy bar. I'm kind of a bit of a health food nut, and I don't like to see kids bouncing off the wall because they've been eating junk food.
Yeah, and I would add, if you're a chocolate lover, it's really a difference, because the you know, I've had the other products, the other chocolate products from the other gel companies, and they're more of a syrup, whereas the Chocolate Number 9 is just, it's more like a high-end chocolate sauce almost. It's really good. It's like it's like real chocolate, right?
Yeah.
It's not like an energy gel pretending to be chocolate. It's like real chocolate.
Right. And I've had lots of comments that basically the Chocolate Number 9 makes all the other chocolate varieties of energy gels look bad. Okay. Is
exactly. Yeah.
If you like chocolate, you'll like chocolate number 9.
Yeah. So like I said, this is just sort of by accident become my favorite morning thing because I find it sets really easy on my stomach. And otherwise, I'd be, you know, eating a piece of fruit or something before I went out, which wouldn't digest as well. So,
it also makes a great cocoa. I'm a vegan, and I use oat milk and almond milk in the morning for stuff. And I usually take a cup of oat milk or almond milk, sometimes blend the two together and squeeze in a chocolate number 9. It makes an absolutely great cocoa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I'll put some on my oatmeal if I run out of raisins and nuts.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show and appreciate you letting me try this. I really like it.
On a nice longer run and let me know what you think.
Yeah, I'm going out. I think I'm going to do somewhere around a 20 mile this weekend if the mood strikes me because I got a long relay in a couple of weeks.
All right.
And I'll take them with me.
I'll give you another quick anecdote. I had a gentleman who wanted to use it on a 100-kilometer ultra run. That's 62 and a half miles. And he used nothing but chocolate number 9 for the entire race. And not only did he win, not only did he set 4 personal bests for himself during the thing, but he blew away the best time ever recorded on that 62.5-mile run by a whopping 32 minutes.
This is the Lake Tahoe run, I think, is what I was seeing, right?
Yes, it was the Lake Tahoe run. And to knock 32 minutes off of a 9-hour run is a significant detail.
Yeah, that's a good day. All right, man. Thanks for the info. We'll keep in touch, all right?
All right. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Bye-bye. She bent down and turned around and gave me a wink. Said I'm going to make it up right here in the sink. It smelled like turpentine and looked like Indian ink. I held my nose, I closed my eyes, I took a drink. I didn't know if it was day or night. I started kissing everything inside. But when I kissed the cow, got a very broken bite. He broke my little bottle of love potion number 9.
Hey, folks. This is Chris, and kind of strange here. I'm out on a ferry crossing, I don't know, whatever bay this is in Seattle, going out to Bainbridge Island. We just sort of jumped on this ferry at a whim because we got to waste some time to get back on the red eye out of SeaTac back to Boston, out on the West Coast on a little whirlwind tour, seeing some clients, seeing some colleges, got a couple of great runs in. Ran this morning in Seattle. It was raining, but the sun's come out, and it's just gorgeous here. And we can see Mount Rainier and the Space Needle and the Olympic Mountains, and it's just fantastic. This is one of those days. It's just can't get better than this. So, isn't this cool?
Yep.
This is cool. All right.
That's a cool out there.
Yeah. This is the aquarium. I hope it doesn't end up at the like the Poseidon Adventure.
What?
Huh? All right.
Oh, it's you!
I'm afraid so, Janet. But isn't it nice?
You!
I'm afraid so, Brad. But isn't it nice?
Here's today's quick tips.
Hey, folks, here's a little piece that I wrote on the airplane last week. Probably be a blog post, too. I called it The Passion. And what is it that separates those of us who love running? I was complaining. I was out on a chatty run with one of my favorite running friends. He was a decade or so younger than me. He was quiet. He was a strong, peaceful friend who put up with my prattling away and enjoyed pounding the trails with me. He trained for Boston with me one spring, sharing my springtime rituals, from the New Year's Day plunge in the Atlantic through the Boston Beast itself, and he got to hear all the old tales and all my crackpot theories on running and life. I had started podcasting by this time, setting free my running vibes out into the ether. I had intended to bring the tribal knowledge that I had picked up along my routes to the new runners, help some people out, share the small lessons that I had learned from the real runners I had intersected with. I was complaining that people were treating me like some sort of crazy person for running the way I do, some sort of running savant, and I was complaining that I was trying to connect and share with them more on a common ground level, and they were treating me like a real runner. You see, in my mind, I was a mid-pack hack who never won anything, And my heroes were the real runners in the 1970s that I stood in awe of. You know, real runners are like Bill Rogers and Ambi Burfoot and those, that generation of runners. And there was, they were amateurs in the true sense. They ran in cutoff shorts and logged 120-mile weeks on ramen noodles and flat Coke. And they were poor, and they were dedicated, and they were fast. Bill Rogers would still finish in the top 10 in the marathons, and he didn't get paid anything. I was a full 2 minutes per mile slower than these guys, you know, an hour behind them at the marathon finish on my best day. So I complained loudly that people were mistaking me for someone else, someone I was not. You can scan the starting line of any distance race in Massachusetts, and you'll find the real runners. We breed them from the blue-collar streets of Lawrence and Haverhill and Somerville, lean, crazy, happy folks who love to run. And that wasn't me. I was a middle-of-the-pack, suit-and-tie, prep-school faker. Old, overweight, amateur, and slow. Is it a universal truth that we never see ourselves as others see us? When we look in the mirror, we see our faults, and we see our failings, and we see our tattered edges. That day he brought me up short with a matter-of-fact statement. He said, "Chris, you're a good runner, and you are pretty fast." And that was a bit of an epiphany for me. And understand that when I look in the mirror, I can see that smiling man with the passion for life. And I realize now that my gift, and it is a gift, my gift for running is not my ability to do it, but my passion for it. Passion may not be the right word. It's difficult to explain. I'm still figuring it out. I mean, I don't lie awake at night in feverish anticipation of the next run. It's not a physical passion. It's a sense of peace, a sense of calm power that fills me as Buddy and I glide down the trails. Some days it's hard, but for me it's never difficult, if that makes any sense. The farther I go, the more peaceful it becomes. The exhaustion of efforts centers me, and I feel joy. Really, there's no other way to explain it. It's a total body happiness where the physical and mental come together in a beautiful act of exhaustion. And I can remember laughing out loud and shouting with glee at the 30-mile mark of an ultramarathon. And you'll often find me singing to myself when you pass me in a long trail race. You know, this is the gift that I want to give to you. It is a gift that I have been given over 3 decades of training and running in the mid-pack. Don't go into running to lose weight or to get in shape. Don't train for a marathon or a 10K. Train for a lifetime. Train your mind and your body as one in the same thing. Don't worry about how fast you're going. Listen to your body and hear what it's saying. Make a 10-year plan. Make a 30-year plan. Become a student of your mind and your body. Treat each 10K in the woods with the dog as a lecture in running joy. I've been doing it for years, and I never knew. I truly am an idiot savant. I never realized that, like so many things in my life, running had come easily to me, and more importantly, that the joy of running came easily to me as well. You can stop trying to find the passion and let it find you. This is my gift, which I never knew I had. I thought everyone had this joy and passion. I always told people, if running seems hard, you're doing it wrong. Don't worry about your stride or your shoes or the power gels you eat. Focus on finding the joy. The joy is the lowest common denominator, and once you find it, the rest is really a matter of course. Search for the joy. Work for the joy. When you have the joy, you will not be able to hold back the speed and the miles. They will sprout through you like a seed from the earth. Don't start running. Start living through running. In the cooling shade of a cedar thicket, the trail bends through a 200-year-old stone wall. My shirt is soaked with warm sweat. The downhill stretches and relaxes my stride. My footfalls are soft and strong as my feet search out the trail's surface. My hands are loose and high. A water bottle is loosely gripped in the left, and a grimy orange dog leash in the right. Buddy trots ahead, tongue lolling, and head low like a wild dog. My shoes grip into the pine needles on the corner, and the momentum slings me out into the trail. I fly. I smile. That's it, folks. You've burned another 500-plus calories of fat off that spare tire listening to episode 84 of the Run, Run, Live podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. As always, you can reach me at CYKT Russell. That's Chris Yellow King Tom Russell, two S's, two L's, at yahoo.com. and CYKT Russell on Twitter and CYKT Russell on Facebook and everywhere else where fine old runners are sold. Coming up, I have a bountiful plethora of entertaining guests that I'm working on. My friend Dave Dunham, the great mountain runner, who we have talked to before, the great Dan Brown, and next week an expert from the Brooks Shoe Company. So send me any Brooks Shoe questions you have for them. I was able to weasel an interview because they are sponsoring our Ragnar Twitter team. And speaking of which, I'm going to swap interviews with Running Relays, the blog lady, and that should be fun. I've been trying to get Tanner Bell, one of the founders of Ragnar, on the phone, but I guess now that they're so successful, he doesn't have time for me anymore. So I'm going to talk to one of his underlings and the race director for the Ragnar New England, Chris Thresher, I think his name is. Good name, Chris. Good, solid, manly name, Chris. Anyhow, it's all good, folks. I'm feeling strong. Looks like the economy has turned around. See, I told you the world wouldn't come to an end. I just don't know how anyone can keep from smiling when we think about all the blessings we have and all the opportunities out there for us. Everywhere I turn, there are unconquered mountains of the mind calling me with their siren songs, and I'll be looking for you to join me out there. Music tonight is by a group called The Kits, and it's called Horror Movie. As always, all music is from the starving artists at the PodSafe Music Network. If you like what you hear, go on over and cough up the 99 cents so they can continue to afford ramen noodles and cheap beer and live another day to provide us with continuing awesome music and tunes. Listening to the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.